नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड डिटैचमेंट फ्रॉम ऑल दैट इज मटेरियल। टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी।
यस्मिन् मनोलब्ध पदं यदेत शनै शनैर्मुञ्चति कर्म रेणुन् सत्वेन वृद्धेन रजस्तमश्च विधूय निर्वाणं पैति अनिन्दनम्। यस्मिन् मनोलब्धपदं यदेतत् शनै शनैर्मुञ्चति कर्म रेणुन् सत्वेन वृद्धेन रजस्तमश्च विधूय निर्वाणमुपैति अनिन्दनम्। यस्मिन् मनोलब्धपदं यदेत शनै शनैर्मुञ्चति कर्म रेणुन् सत्वेन वृद्धेन रजस्तमश्च विधूय निर्वाणमुपैति अनिन्दनम्। यस्मिन् मनोलब्धपदं यदेतत् रजस्तमश्च शनैर्मुञ्चति कर्म रेणुन्
We'll read the word-to-word translation. Word-to-word translation, translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Yasmin, in which, that is the Supreme Lord. Manaha, the mind. Labdha, having obtained. Padam, a permanent situation. Yad etad, that very mind. Shanai shanai, gradually, step by step. Munchati, gives up. Karma, fruitive activities. Renun, the contamination. Satvena, by the mode of goodness. Vriddhena, which has grown strong. Rajaha, the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Cha, also. Vidhuya, giving up. Nirvanam, the transcendental position in which one is united with the object of his meditation. Upayati, achieves. Anindhanam, without fuel. Translation: the mind can be controlled when it is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having achieved a stable situation, the mind becomes free from polluted desires to execute material activities. Thus, as the mode of goodness increases in strength, one can completely give up the modes of passion and ignorance, and gradually one transcends even the material mode of goodness. When the mind is freed from the fuel of the modes of nature, the fire of material existence is extinguished. Then one achieves the transcendental platform of direct relationship with the object of his meditation, that is the Supreme Lord. Purport: the interaction of the three modes of nature creates great obstacles in one's path of spiritual advancement. And there is danger that one may be thrown down into the darkness of ignorance. Those who are experienced in practical psychology know the dangers of the uncontrolled mind and constantly endeavor to bring the mind under control. If one can free oneself from the influence of the material modes of passion and ignorance, then life becomes very auspicious. Controlling the mind and thereby freeing oneself from the influence of the material modes of nature is the only means of making actual progress in life. The word Yasmin in this verse, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. Giving up the material propensities of the mind does not mean merging into an impersonal existence, such as that experienced in dreamless sleep. As stated in this verse, Satvena Vriddhena, one must become firmly established in the mode of goodness and then gradually rise onto the spiritual platform where one may dwell in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari
वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. I sincerely seek the blessings of all my gurus who are sitting here. We are discussing this section from 11th canto, where this Avadhut Brahman is speaking about 24 gurus. And I am fortunate to have around 240 gurus sitting here. It's very interesting how usually when somebody is speaking from the Srimad Bhagavatam, he hears from his seniors and then repeats it to other people who need that. And ISKCON is very special in that those who have taught us, sometimes they sit in the class and then we have to undergo that trinadapi suni chena, because they are doing taro riva sahishona. So here we are having this seva, and we sincerely seek your blessings to speak a little bit on this very technical verse, which is here about controlling the mind, increasing the mode of goodness above passion and ignorance, and then graduating beyond the mode of goodness to Shuddha Sattva, to serving the Supreme Lord. So we seek your blessings. So first we'll speak a little bit about controlling our mind, and also something to do with the modes of nature, how to deal with the modes of nature, and towards the end we'll see how to actually go beyond the modes of nature as is being suggested in today's verse, and then serve the Supreme Lord. So there is never enough to be said about the need for controlling our mind. It's just an infinite topic. All of us are testimony how the mind is actually having us in its grip, and then it keeps on vacillating, keeps on fluctuating. Sometimes it will give us happiness, sometimes it will give us distress. Sometimes the same mind will inspire us for a devotee association, will inspire us for coming to the temple, taking devotional service seriously. And sometimes the same mind, very amazingly, will find faults in those that are close to us and distance us from them. So that's why Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord, the creator of everything, is saying how the mind is also your best friend, and also the mind is your worst enemy. And if you actually go deeper into this concept, it's very strange. So now, right now, at this moment, how should I deal with my mind? Should I listen to it? Should I not listen to it? Is it right now acting as a genuine friend and giving me very special personal advice, or as a treacherous friend is taking away from my hit, from something that is good for me? So in trying to deal with the mind, we have no way out except to neglect it. In the beginning stages of our life, what is recommended is neglect the mind just like you neglect a small child. Sometimes a small child appears to be very attracted to you, comes close to you, maybe touches you, wants you to speak to him. And as soon as you keep aside whatever you are doing and try to speak with the mind, then the mind will run away. The child will run away, is it not? So you don't know, just 2 minutes back that child was really eager to talk to me. And then when you turn your face to him, the child will run away. Some of our brahmacharis had visited Udupi during a yatra, and they talked to one senior sannyasi in the Ashtamathas, Vaishnava sannyasis. So they were talking about controlling the urges, and they were talking about advancement in spiritual life, and the sannyasi heard, and then he said, to tell you the truth, he said, 90% of your spiritual advancement is basically mind management. So he said, don't take the mind seriously, take mind management seriously. Usually we do the reverse. I was reading this book by Her Grace Vishakha Mataji, one of the prominent disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So she is mentioning one story which we would like to quote here. So one day she is saying, in the morning, Prabhupada and many of her disciples were sitting together. And as is normal, one devotee, as he is chanting, he takes out his beads outside, out of the bead bag. So what has happened is, sometimes the beads get entangled, is it not? So he takes the beads out to check what happened. And as soon as he looks towards Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, you are not chanting attentively. So Vishakha Mataji says, she is writing, she is sharing with us, she did not share it with Prabhupada. She said, wait a minute, it is as simple as the beads got entangled. There is nothing beyond it. Ho jata aisa kabhi kabhi, beads get entangled. But Prabhupada gave an interpretation that you are not chanting attentively. And then she mentions the struggle that was going on inside. She was saying, I wanted to speak out. Prabhupada, it is nothing, it's simple. Beads got entangled. Why are you giving it a big purport? But then she said, I thought for some time, you know, he is my spiritual master. And this analytical bent of our mind, you know, especially the modern minds who have undergone a lot of education, they always think linearly. They don't think sideways. Yes, they step one, then step two, then step three and step four. So she says, how I had been educated in that Western mindset, and all that I got as a result of my education, which is very analytical, which tries to understand every small thing in a very logical, systematic way, is frustration and disappointment. And because I was plagued with frustration and disappointment, that is the reason why I was searching for answers in a far off town, small city, Vrindavan. She's from America. So she was saying, why was in Vrindavan? I was in Vrindavan because I was frustrated with my thinking, with my logic, and with whatever my culture gave me. So wait a minute, again when I come to the solution part, my mind is so tricky, it again brings my superior intelligence, which never satisfied me, and is trying to argue with those who are guiding me. So she said, okay, then I thought about it. I calmed myself down. And then I said, beads getting entangled while chanting, was it something only for that person? She said, no, sometimes when I chant, my beads also get entangled. So let me take it as a lesson from the spiritual master that whenever my beads get entangled and I stop and I try to clear them up, or sometimes I get frustrated, I lost some time in chanting, actually it only represents my inattentiveness. And she said, I just stopped there and continued chanting. And she said, next time my beads got entangled, she said, instead of finding it as some kind of a mechanical arrangement, I saw it as my lack of attention in my chanting. And she said, that day, the next time it happened, she said, I got humbled. And she says, the day I got humbled because of that small thing, it actually felt good. And she says, from that day onwards, I decided that let us not trust our mind. Mind is a very tricky object, a part of our personality. So, this mind is so amazing, it always, it's not that it will advise us only in matters which are in its realm. I may have a musician friend, and it's very good on my part to take advice from him for musical matters. How to play the kartas, how to play the mridang and so on, maybe some tune. I may have some preacher friend in the ashram, and he knows how to give very relevant classes. But if I take advice from my preacher friend about musical skills, or if I take advice from somebody who is very good in cooking about how to dance, then that's where I mess up. So usually we don't do that. Usually, when our car gets broken, we go to the car mechanic. And when our heart has some problem, we go to the heart specialist. For everything in life, we have different experts. It is only in one case that for everything, we have one guru. Actually, all of us, before this 24 gurus and before our Diksha guru and before our Shiksha guru, we have already been initiated long, long back. Probably around we were maybe 2 or 3 years old. We took initiation from our mind. And we actually surrendered without anything. Shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. Shadhi means, Arjuna is telling Krishna, mere upar shasan kijiye. Rule over me, control me, use me as a puppet. So that is what is required from a good disciple when he approaches a bona fide guru out of his own will, not out of force. So that is what we have already done actually to the mind. Mind, we are saying, see, for anything and everything in my life, spiritual, material, slash, dot, 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 anything else, you are my guide and you are my soul guide. Nahi prapashyami. I don't see anyone else who is fit to guide me. But actually these words we should speak to somebody who is spiritually advanced and who can guide us properly. This mind is very much ruled by the modes of nature. There is a thick connection between modes of nature. There is another story that Vishakha Mataji mentions in her book. She says, one time I entered a room and there was my friend Yamuna Mataji. And she saw that Yamuna Mataji was taking Charanamrit in some small vessel and leaving. So she said, where are you going with this Charanamrit? So she said, you remember that sick devotee? We tried to give her many medicines, but those medicines won't work. And when we told this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, all she needs is Charanamrit. So when Yamuna Mataji gave this reply to Vishakha Mataji, again Vishakha Mataji is very intelligent. So she says, she said, why don't we take her to a hospital if the medicines are not working? Or even if you don't want to take her to a hospital, why don't we change the medicine, try out another therapy? And Yamuna Mataji smilingly replied, she said, actually, to tell you the truth, since the time we started giving Charanamrit to this devotee, her health has improved. So, I am not referring to the disease that is there, I am just referring to this limited incident where again there is a clash between the way we have been trained to think and the way advanced spiritual personalities think. This is not to advise not going to the doctor. We should definitely take medical advice, preferably from a devotee doctor. So you get the best of the both worlds. But the point that I wanted to emphasize is, the linear systematic thinking by a Western attitude mind and the kind of attitude that a devotee has, that finally, you know, let's pray, let's take shelter of the Lord. So this is where again Vishakha Pataji mentions, as soon as I heard that answer, it was difficult for me to accept it. How can simple Charanamrit, and that Charanamrit, Vishakha Mataji mentions, is not this milk, dahi, honey, sugar water Charanamrit. It was actually water that had washed the deities. Plain water that had washed the deities. It may be a normal, it may be something simple. Prabhupada also is said to have, because he would run a chemical laboratory. He ran a medicine business. So he had some understanding of diseases and medicine. So he must have seen something and he advises Charanamrit. So again Vishakha Mataji says, I just analyzed myself. Do I actually have faith on the words of the spiritual master? Or do I have more faith in the way I am taught and I have been advised and I have been brought up? And she says, after some time when I analyzed, I understood my mind flip-flops. My mind keeps on fluctuating. And she says, in her words, it depends on the state of my heart at that time. What that means is, when I'm happy, then I may not have so much concern about others, because I'm so absorbed in myself. And sometimes when we ourselves are in pain, again we do not have concern for others. So extreme happiness or extreme pain, we are not concerned about others. Somewhere in between we have some space, some small bandwidth to think about others. So this means, first problem is the mind itself is uncontrolled, inherently. It's like a small child, it's like a monkey.
Second thing is, this mind is influenced by the modes of nature. So that complicates the problem further. And the modes keep on fluctuating. Sometimes it is sattva, sometimes it is rajo, sometimes it is tamo. And accordingly, it's a very difficult situation for most sadhakas. When we are at home, we are waiting for the Sunday class, we are waiting for the Sunday feast, we are waiting for our counseling meetings, we are probably waiting for the monthly prerana festival. And then when we come and sit here, yesterday was prerana festival and we were observing some young boys sitting close, very distracted actually. So many times they would take out their cell phone, the class is going on, and if you ask him, probably 2 or 3 days after the prerana festival, you ask him, and he says, Prabhu, when is the next prerana festival? Because we really get inspiration, we really feel joy, and we are looking forward to the next class. But when they actually come and sit for the class, there is something else that is important. So this is how we have been actually manipulated by our mind. And that's why it's important to understand how to deal with this mind, and also how to deal with the manipulation of the modes of nature on this mind. We are suffering from all this. So we'll take a small incident from Dhritarashtra's life. This is the time when the Mahabharata war is over now, and Dhritarashtra is in his palace, and then the news comes to him. This is the last sad news that reaches him. This is when Duryodhan is killed by Bhima. And when this news reaches Dhritarashtra, he is the prime object of his affection. So he collapses when he hears that news. And he can't believe it. It is mentioned that he actually fainted. And then his servants come, and with a palm leaf, they fan him and then bring him back to consciousness. He's just wailing, he's crying, no control. And then he says, please take me to that place where I can see the body of my son. That son for whom I did everything that I did not want to, and now he is dead. So what is the motivation for me to continue? So please take me to that place. And then it is mentioned, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra and some other ladies of the palace, they move out from the palace and they are on their way to the battlefield. So, mentioned 2 miles from the palace, they meet Kritavarma, they meet Kripacharya, and they say that actually we three are the only ones who have survived from the battle and we are on our way, running away from the battle, because Ashwatthama did something which he should not have done, and he has been captured by Krishna and Arjun, and he is being punished by Krishna and Arjun. Somehow we are out of there and we are running away. So they run away. And then again, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and all the ladies from the palace, they are on their way going to the battlefield. Meanwhile, from the battlefield, because Yudhishthir and the Pandavas, they have won the battle, they are on their way to Hastinapur, because Yudhishthir is called Ajata Shatru. Ajata means that who is not born. So Ajata Shatru means that person whose enemy is not born. So now my humble question to some of you who would like to volunteer to answer this question is that, but the enemy of Yudhishthir is born. The enemy of Yudhishthir is there. Duryodhan was the enemy of Yudhishthir. Dushyasan is the enemy of Yudhishthir. Karna was definitely the enemy of Yudhishthir. But one of the shloka, Shukdev Goswami mentions Yudhishthir as Ajata Shatru. Iska Shatru Janma nahi hai. So then what happened? We have to understand it from another perspective. Where is the enemy born? I am a person. Where is my enemy born? Yeah, so the first answer that comes out is any person, what about enemy? Even my friends, my enemies, all of them are born in the womb of their mothers. But what it means is the enemy is not born in the womb, the enemy is born in the heart. Where is my enemy born? My enemy is born in my heart. When I judge somebody, when I put him in a box, and I say, he is my enemy. Ye shatru hai mera. Isko marna padega. Iske sath deal karna padega. I have to twist him. So the conception is born in the heart. The person, when I was a child, and the person whom I consider as my enemy, when he was born in the maternity ward, was he my enemy? Did he call out to me, you are my enemy? Both of us in the maternity ward, when the doctor gave us birth, we were innocent children. And probably till the time I developed this judgmental mentality, till the time it's quite possible that both of us were playing together very innocently, with no ill feelings towards each other. And one point of time, I developed this supreme opulence of judging people. Ye mitra hai, ye shatru hai. Ye achha hai, ye bura hai. And that day my enemies were born. Is it not? So that's why Prahlad Maharaj, when he is taught by Shanda and Amarka, the first thing he rejects in the teachings of Shanda and Amarka is this philosophy. Categorizing people into friends and enemies. He says, I don't agree with this. So, coming back to this point, Yudhishthir Maharaj, although he has won the war by killing his cousins, the sons of Dhritarashtra, he never saw them as enemies. So, as soon as he wins, he has two things. One thing is, he wants to come and take shelter of his uncle and beg forgiveness. Somehow or the other, the situation arranged is in such a way that I had to go against your sons. Personally speaking, I am Ajatashatru. I didn't want to do this. Arjun himself, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, did he want to fight? No. He says, I don't want this kingdom and I don't want that kingdom. I don't want anything of this. I am happy to go and beg. So if you see all the five Pandavas, they are actually Ajatashatru, but still they fought for Krishna's pleasure. So they are on their way to meet the uncle, and the uncle is on their way to meet. He wants to see the body of his son. He does not want to meet the Pandavas. So then there is a meeting. And somebody tells Dhritarashtra, here are the five Pandavas, victorious, and they are returning. And Dhritarashtra, he says, oh, I want to meet Yudhishthir. I want to meet Yudhishthir. So Yudhishthir comes forward. Dhritarashtra embraces him. And then he says, okay, who's next? So obviously, in a linear sequence, Bhim comes next. And Bhim is on his way to embrace Dhritarashtra. And Krishna is also there. And you know Krishna, his bhakta vatsal, more than being Parameshwar, more than being Paramatma, his bhakta vatsal. So he says, Bhima, wait. And the good quality of Pandavas is that when Krishna says something, they don't use their linear thinking. They surrender. So Krishna immediately brings an iron statue of Bhima that Duryodhan had kept in his gymnasium, where he would exercise. He had kept a statue of Bhim as his constant motivation for, you know, building up his muscles and building up his skills. Interesting motivation. The point is not to improve myself. The point is not to become better, even in fighting, whatever you say. The point is, the whole game of life is to become better than this person. मुझे अपने में अच्छा नहीं बनना है, मुझे केवल इससे अच्छा बनना है. जिस दिन मैं इससे अच्छा बनूंगा, उस दिन मैं जीत गया. So such a vengeful mentality, if somebody has, he is breathing poison basically. So this person had kept a iron statue there, and Krishna brings that iron statue. Now think about it, if Duryodhan's motivation is just to outsmart Bhim in everything that he does, how that statue will be exactly as per Bhim, is it not? So Krishna brings that statue and keeps it in front of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra is so much overwhelmed by this anger against Bhim, he embraces that statue. Now it's an iron statue. So any one of you would immediately think, how can Dhritarashtra get the same feeling that you get when you embrace a person, flesh, warmth? Yes, there's a heat. How can you get the same feeling when you embrace a cold iron statue? Metal. It can't get this. But try to think about it. Either when you're too absorbed in loving somebody, the material situation does not matter. Or when you're in supreme envy against somebody, the material situation does not matter. Because it's all about self-absorption. It's all about me. So he embraces that statue so tightly, he breaks that statue. It is said the statue broke to pieces. An iron statue was broken to pieces. And what effect did it have on Dhritarashtra? That is also mentioned. It is said his chest got bruised badly. Blood started coming out and he fell down vomiting blood. He put all his energy into that embrace. And he fell down. He's blind. I sometimes use the word blindest. Not blind, because Prabhupada mentions in the first chapter, first verse, he's blind physically, he's blind morally, he's blind ethically, he's blind spiritually, he's the blindest king. So he falls down and he's assuming that tight embrace that I did to kill him has worked. Kuch to aawaz aayi mujhe tootne ki. And in a false crocodile tears, you know, he's crying. He said, "Oh, Bhim, Bhim, I lost Bhim, I lost Bhim." And everyone is watching the scene. And Madhav, Krishna, he says, "My dear Dhritarashtra, don't worry, Bhim is all alive. This was just an iron statue. And thank you very much for your very affectionate embrace." So, why did we mention this story? If you look at the whole life of Dhritarashtra, it is just lot of tamo gun. Tamo is basically darkness. Tamo is basically blindness. So, willingly or unwillingly, unwillingly is his physical eyes and willingly is ethical eyes, his spiritual eyes. Willingly and unwillingly both, he decided, he chose to close his eyes to whatever nonsense is happening in his court, to whatever nonsense is being proposed by his sons. So it is basically tamogun, not giving that which is due, not to give extra out of affection. Oh, here are my fatherless nephews. Pitaji bhi nahi hai inke. To inko to jyada raksha karni chahiye. What to speak of that, what they deserved, they did not get. So it's basically tamogun. So whole life is tamogun. Then, because of that anger, because of that passion to kill Bhima, we can say it is rajogun. And now when he falls down, and he is hurt, and Madhav, Krishna, tells him that no, Bhima has been saved, don't worry about this. And then Krishna asks him a question. Krishna says, "Why are you so angry? Because this whole thing is a result of your decisions." And he says, "By killing Bhima, will your sons be revived?" So when this thought hits Dhritarashtra, he comes back to his senses and he says, "Yes, actually you are right. My sons won't come back to my senses." And then, he is taken up and he is brought to the palace. Actually, before doing that, they take him to the river. There is Ganges flowing nearby. They wash him because there is blood. He changes his clothes and he sits on an asana. And Krishna again comes to him and says, "Think about it." He says, "So many times I came to you personally and I advised you, don't do this. Vidur many times told you, don't do this. Bhishma told you so many times, don't do this. Purposefully, janiya shuniya bish khaino. Knowingly you have drunk poison. So, who's to blame?" So then, when knowledge comes on you, then you go to sattva gun. So it is tamo, rajo, and then it is sattva. So then what happens? Is this a very good, nice sequence? Tamo hai, phir tamo se baad mein rajo aa gaya, phir rajo se baad mein sattva aa gaya. So I think this is a good sequence. But then what happens? Then everything settles down. Yudhishthir Maharaj becomes the king as per Krishna's plan. And Dhritarashtra shamelessly is staying at the home of this Yudhishthir. Whole life is dedicated to killing these Pandavas and now he is staying there. And 35 years pass. And a description is there, Bhim had a lot of vengeance against Duryodhan. Duryodhan had a lot of vengeance against Bhim. So Bhim would sometimes tease Dhritarashtra. So it is mentioned when Dhritarashtra would sit somewhere and when he would have lunch, Bhim had taken upon himself the responsibility of serving lunch to his uncle. So how would he serve lunch? He would bring rotis, chapatis. And he would throw the rotis from a distance into Dhritarashtra's plate. I said, "Take." That's typically how we deal with our dogs. And that's how, just to tease him, Bhim would do that. Sometimes Bhim would stand at the gate of his room and just talk with some of the guards outside the room and say, you know, with these arms, he would make a slapping sound on his arms. And he said, "With these arms, I killed all the sons of Dhritarashtra." And he would make a loud sound. And Dhritarashtra is sitting there. And Dhritarashtra is again thinking, you know, iska kuch karna padega. It did not work. This Krishna is too much. So it is mentioned, 35 years passed like this. Around 35 years passed like this, he's living like a dog. At the mercy of those whom he tried to kill at every moment. So no mercy for them, but their mercy is what makes me alive. And then Vidura, who has been thrown out by Dhritarashtra long, long time before, comes back after his journey. And when he returns, what does Vidura do? Why has Vidura come back? Vidur has come back not to enjoy family life. Vidur has come back not to enjoy palace life. He never did it even when he was in Hastinapur. He has come back out of concern for his elder brother. So he comes and there is some interaction between Yudhishthira and Vidur. But then we'll go to the interaction between Vidur and Dhritarashtra. He says, do not you see the force of imperceptible time? How it has overtaken you? Just look at yourself. Your teeth have fallen. Your skin is loose. Your liver is not functioning. Your digestion is weak. And he says, sometimes while breathing, you make some strange sound from your throat. It's said when you become old, this whole respiratory tract does not function properly. It makes some gurr-gurr sound like that when you breathe. There's a cough here. Constant cough here. So he says, just see how everything that you wanted did not happen. And now, even your physical body is giving away, at least now, willingly understand how you have done so many mistakes in life, beg forgiveness from the Supreme Lord, leave this dogly life. And he, like an expert surgeon, when he starts cutting to bring out a tumor, it's not that he just pierces it directly. A surgeon first takes his scalpel and then touches the skin. The top layer of the skin is what cuts first. Then the blood comes out. And then that incision that he wants to make, you know, he'll push the knife deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper till the time he touches that part that he wants to take out. And as soon as he takes it out, again sews it up. So similarly, Vidur, like an expert surgeon, he starts in a very general way. How the imperceptible force of time has overtaken you. And then he cuts deeper. Just look at you, how you are living like a dog at the mercy of those whom you try to kill. And then, you know, with his sharp razor-like words. Sometimes, you know, we criticize sharp razor-like words, especially in the case of Dhruv Maharaj. Suruchi spoke those words. We criticize them. But sometimes expert surgeons use the same knife very expertly. So Vidur cuts his ego with the sharp knife. And then tells him, Rajan Nirgamyatam Shigram. So in this Rajan Nirgamyatam Shigram, the translation is, oh my dear king, leave immediately. Shigram. Kal ki apeksha mat karo abhi. Ho gaya abhi, aa gaya. But the interesting thing is, in the last sentence that he says, leave this palace. If you are really having little bit sense, he uses the word Rajan. This is the last cut. Because he's not Rajan anymore. After the battle of Kurukshetra, he's not Rajan anymore. All his hopes of being a Rajan and all his hopes of continuing the legacy of being a Rajan have been thoroughly devastated. So that's the last cut. Rajan. Jaisi Rajan sunta hai, you know, he's like agitated. And it is mentioned that night, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra and Vidur himself, they left the palace. And what happened is, Dhritarashtra really became detached from his selfish passions, and he really practiced tapasya. So it is mentioned something like the third night or the sixth night after the day he left the palace, he invoked fire from his own body. He practiced such intense tapasya, he invoked fire from his own body and burned himself. If not in the fire of repentance, at least in this physical fire, he burned himself. So why are we mentioning this? We are mentioning this that just like Dhritarashtra, to some extent, all of us have also undergone these cycles of Rajo, Tamo and Sattva. And there is no end to that. So, we were discussing about his life and there were some instances where sometimes when Vidur talks to him, he understands, oh, this is the truth, I should not do like this. But this endless cycle of Sattva, Rajo and Tamo was broken by Vidur. If Vidur had not intervened, again, you know, the flip-flop cycle goes on. Sometimes you feel good for people, sometimes you don't feel good for people, sometimes you feel like helping people, sometimes you don't feel like helping people, and this goes on forever. What is the end to all this? The end to all this is two things. One is, you contact the Supreme Lord, or you contact the representative of the Supreme Lord. So, Dhritarashtra's cycle of Sattva, Rajo and Tamo did not end on his own accord, did not end by his own determination. His cycle ended when he contacted this pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. Very interestingly, I just mentioned just now, there are two options. Either you contact the Supreme Lord or you contact the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. Dhritarashtra contacted the Supreme Lord also. When Krishna went as a peace messenger, at one point of time, Duryodhan says, catch this person. Because Shakuni says, he is just a magician. So Krishna says, I am not a magician. I am who I am. Don't try to catch me. I'm inside, I'm outside. How do you catch somebody who's all pervading? So still, you know, people have their own conceptions and they try to capture them. Krishna shows Virat Rupa. This is a smaller sample of what he showed in Gita to Arjun. And everyone is saying, oh, Dwarkadish, ye kaun sa roop hai? You know, they're scared. And there's only one person who could not see that. That is the blindest, okay, Dhritarashtra. He could not see that. And he wants to see that form because he wants to experience this form. So he asks Krishna, can I see the form? Can Krishna empower somebody to see him? Of course, he empowered Arjuna also. Divyam dadami chakshuste. He gave the divine chakshu to Arjuna. Similarly, he gives the divine chakshu to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra saw that huge form, Virat Rupa. But still he did not change. So it's very interesting that some people can be so adamantly egoistic that even Krishna cannot convert them. But such people who are adamantly egoistic can be converted by the representatives of the Supreme Lord. Krishna somewhere wants to show the superiority of his representatives. He says, "Mere se jo nahi ho pata hai, kabhi kabhi mere bhakt kar dete hai." So that's why, what do the devotees give to such people that they can break the adamancy and the egoism of somebody who could not be rectified even by the Supreme Lord? This is a question. How can somebody who is a representative of the Supreme Lord do something that the Supreme Lord could not do? I would like to propose something, and maybe some of my friends can correct me. The Supreme Lord can give his darshan, but the Supreme Lord very rarely engages that person in his service. The Supreme Lord does not give service to himself very easily. Darshan bhi bahut kathin hai, lekin kabhi kabhar thoda tapasya karenge, ye wo. There are instances where you got darshan of the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord doesn't stay for a long time. Dhruva is a very famous example of somebody who got darshan of the Supreme Lord. 6 months of tapasya, very intense tapasya. But when the Supreme Lord appeared, he did not stay for a long time. Another example is, just now we celebrated Narsingh Chaturdashi. Prahlad, for 7 years or something, he's doing intense tapasya. Every day there are assassination attempts. He is tried to be killed in so many ways. So much of tapasya. And then Narsingdev appears. How many hours was Narsingdev there? For a few hours. He disappeared after that. Never to be seen by Prahlad. Later he gave his darshan in the form of Vamandev. But then, whole life he never saw Narsingdev. So, adrishyatam, ati udbhut, adi adbhuta rupam udbhan. That adrishyatam is never before seen and never after seen. Kabhi nahi dekha tha. Prahlad never saw that form before. Lakshmi Devi is saying, I have never seen this form before. Hiranyakashipu said, who is this creature who has come like that? He could not even see it as Vishnu. So the point is, the Supreme Lord usually appears for a very short time and he never engages that person in his service. But the representatives of the Supreme Lord, very expertly, very interestingly, they know the point is not just darshan. The point is not just a few moments of association. The thick covering, the thick avarana that is there on our soul, the ego, will not allow that. So what they do is, in a very manipulative in a very good sense. Prabhupada one time asked his disciples, you know what, when I came to America the first time, if they would have known why I have come here, they would have never allowed me to come. Yes, so in one sense he hid his motivations. And he talked about his disciples, if I would have told you right in the first moments that what is my goal, you would also have never joined me. So initially, what was ISKCON? 26th Second Avenue, what was ISKCON? It was basically very good food. It was amazing food. There was those gulab jamuns always there in a steel, in a glass jar outside. Anybody could come and anybody could eat as much as they want. And then slowly Swamiji said, we should have some chanting also. And then slowly Swamiji said, you know, we are going to have more classes also. And then Swamiji slowly said, there is something called as initiation. All of you, do you want to get initiated? By that time, there is a strong bond with Swamiji. So then, on the day of initiation, there is initiation in the afternoon, and one devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what is initiation? Are there any rules? Something, it sounds little formal. Yes, Swamiji said, the rules of the initiation are 16 rounds of chanting every day, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And he said, write this on a paper and stick it on that wall. And that first notice, where Swamiji first time mentioned the four regulative principles, you know, that's still there. And all the devotees, when they read that, they said, really? We didn't know this. So, in a positive way, Swamiji tricked people into purity. Maya is tricking us into impurity. We did not know what we are getting into the first time we did nonsense. The first time we did nonsense, it was a very pleasurable thing. Yattad agre amrutam eva pariname visham. Shuruaat mein to bahut meetha meetha lag raha tha. Abhi sab log tadap rahe hain. Sab log soch rahe hain, this bad habit, this bad thoughts, how to overcome it, it's really serious. So Maya tricked us into impurity. Cannot the representatives of the Supreme Lord trick us into purity? They are very expert. Krishna je bhaje, sei bada chatur. So, the point is, the Supreme Lord does not give service very freely. But the representatives of the Supreme Lord, they'll talk to you, they'll convince you to do some small seva. And that seva is something that is our hope. What does Krishna say about the modes in the Bhagavad Gita? So the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is basically a discussion on the modes. The title of the 14th chapter of the Gita is The Three Modes of Material Nature. And this is text number 21. Arjun is asking a question which is very relevant to our discussion today. Arjun is saying, Arjuna inquired, this 14.21, O my dear Lord, by which symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of material nature? Since we are gripped by this, we should know this. And then text number 22 to 25, Krishna speaks about what is the behavior of a person who is beyond the modes. So now the third question that Arjuna asked is, how to go beyond the modes? And this answer is coming straight from Krishna. So what is this answer? This is 14.26, very famous verse. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. We'll read the translation. Prabhupada is saying, one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. The way to conquer the modes of nature is not to fight with the modes of nature. The way to conquer tamo is not rajo. Arre kam se kam ek, one step we came up. The way to conquer rajo gun is not to go to the sattva gun. Why? Because then there is always a danger of again falling back, slipping. So many times we are climbing stairs and sometimes we'll slip and we'll fall down. So the acharyas, Krishna himself is saying, don't get into that game of rajo, sattva, tama, tama, rajo, sattva, and you know, keep on playing with these three modes eternally. Saying, break this cycle. Mam chayo avyabhicharena. Catch some service somewhere in the association of devotees. Either in the temple if it is possible. If we stay far away from the temple, invite the Lord to our home. Engage in some deity worship. Catch hold of some devotee, some senior person who can guide you what service is good for you as per your psychophysical nature. Where can you attach yourself in the broad variety of sadhana bhakti? Shravanam, if nothing else, if you can do some kirtanam. Agar achhe se karenge, smaranam hai, wo nahi hai, to vandanam hai. If you say, Prabhuji, you know, I am not so much into this shravanam, kirtanam, I can't sit, I am a restless person. Do some archanam. Move your hands, pray to the Lord. If you say, it's, you know, I like to speak my heart, I am a very personal person, do some vandanam. Well, Prabhuji, I am physical admi, so vandanam, prayers vagre jamta nahi, and I can't stand and speak to the deities, and I am not so good in listening also. Okay, use your physical body to do some dasyam, do some menial service somewhere. So, Krishna and the acharyas are so broad-minded, they are saying, somewhere in this Navavida Bhakti, catch hold of some service and connect to Krishna. And that service, will it continue lifelong? Will it continue unimpeded? Practically, on a practical basis, it won't continue unimpeded. Why? Because again, it's not that we are completely free, is it not? He's saying, avyabhicharena. Unfailing in all circumstances. That's where the devotees of the Supreme Lord come into the picture. They give us first the service. They are throwing a rope into the deep dark well, Grihamandakupam. And then we are thinking, I am all alone in this well, and there's no one around to even help me. And I see there's some light there, and there's this rope that has come there. What if this rope is also a trick? What if so many times Maya has tricked me, so many times there were so many things that happened and I thought it was good for me, but it was never good for me. And now this rope has fallen. So not only the acharyas or the devotees of the Lord, the concerned devotees of the Lord, not only they drop a rope, they also convince you, catch that rope. Catch that rope. Just look around you, there is no other hope for you. Catch that rope. They'll first drop the rope, they encourage you to drop the rope, and just in case you do that, you catch the rope. Then they pull you out, and when they're pulling you out, sometimes it's strain for them also to pull you out, is it not? But it's strain for you also to keep catching the rope, is it not? So sometimes then you say, ay, nahi, nahi, chhod do, chhod do. I'm coming down. Say, no, 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 just a few minutes more. They'll encourage you, they'll support you, they'll motivate you, they'll pull you, what not. So, if you remember your interactions with somebody who guided you in your devotional service, he not only gave you the books, he not only gave you chanting, he not only would give you regularly prasad, he would sit with you, he must have answered your questions endlessly, he must have tolerated your arrogance, he must have tolerated your senseless questions, he must have spoiled some of his own sleep probably, his health probably, just to give you. That's what is something that is very special of the devotees of the Supreme Lord. That is the gift of the devotees of the Supreme Lord. And that's why service is something that is going to help us. This is what was mentioned in the shloka translation, that initially you go higher in the modes and then you don't even stay in sattva gun, you transcend the mode of goodness so that you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how important is service? We'll have some small discussion, because that is the gift of the devotees of the Supreme Lord. That is what they give to us. They give us service. So this is Adi Leela Chaitanya Charitamrit 3.11. How many types of mukti are there? 5. Yes, very good. So Sayujya, Sarshti, Samipya, Salokya and Sarupya. Now if you read the Vaishnava Acharyas, they don't count them as 5. Technically, he's right. Technically, if you look at the definition, there are 5 muktis. But the Sayujya Mukti is never counted. Why? Because in Sayujya Mukti is basically merging our existence into the existence of the Supreme Lord, becoming one. So, the Vaishnava Acharyas, if you ask them, sahi sahi bataiye kitne mukti hai, to bole, shastro ke anusar 5 hai, lekin agar humko puchenge to 4 hi hai. You know why? Because in Sayujya Mukti, when you merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord, there is no more service. How can you serve yourself? For the concept of service to exist, there is to be a servant, there is to be a served, and there is an activity of service. Prabhupada said, bhakti means devotional service. Service, again, you know, we come to the word service. It means there is a servant, there is a served, and you do something which is called service. So just because the concept of service is not there in that fifth mukti, Sayujya, it is not counted at all. Very interesting. So similarly, in this shloka, 3.11, there are, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is talking about 4 types of rasa. Now we all know, those of us who have done Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Shastri, we know, how many rasas are there, primary rasas in a relationship with the Supreme Lord? 5. Starting with Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. Is it not? In this shloka, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, very conveniently, without any pressure on him, just omits Shanta Rasa. He says, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Shringara, Chari Rasa, Chari Bhavera, Bhaktayata, Krishnatara, Vasha. Kehte hain, ye 4 ras, jo bhakt apne Bhagwan ke saath karte hain, unke vash mein a jate hain Bhagwan. To iske purport mein bhi likha hai, why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is such a bona fide acharya, how can he fail to omit, how can he fail to count Shanta? Because he says, in Shanta, what is Shantaras? Shantaras is again defined below. We'll also explain it in English, but then we'll see what he's saying. Shantera swabhava krishne mamata gandha hina. Krishnera mamata hai na mamata. Mama means mine, and mamata means the feeling of mine. Mamata gandha hina. इसमें ममता नहीं है अगर कोई डिवोटी शांत रस में है भगवान को देख के उसमें ममता नहीं है ही इज नॉट सेइंग कृष्णा इज माइन एंड आई एम कृष्णास दैट बोथ इज ममता I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. Mamata ka gandha bhi nahi hai. Hindi mein bolte hain aisa kabhi kabhi. Arre tere baaton mein prem ka gandha bhi nahi hai. Or sometimes you know you say tere vyavahar mein shishtachar ka gandha bhi nahi hai. Not a small trace. So he is saying shantira swabhava krishne mamata gandha hina parama brahma paramatma jnana praveena. जो शांत रस में व्यक्ति है उसको भगवान है ना, द थ्री एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ, ब्रह्म परमात्मा एंड भगवान. व्हाट इज द स्पेशल क्वालिटी ऑफ भगवान? भगवान इज अ पर्सन. एंड व्हाट काइंड ऑफ अ पर्सन ही इज? ही इज भक्तवत्सल. ही इंटरफियर्स इन योर लाइफ. परमात्मा नेवर इंटरफियर्स. उदासीनवत. वो बोलते देखते हैं ठीक है, जो हो रहा है वो हो रहा है, इसकी इच्छा थी इसको फल मिल रहा है, नो प्रॉब्लम. व्हाट एवर प्रॉब्लम्स आर हैपनिंग इन योर लाइफ, परमात्मा जस्ट सैंक्शंस इट. एंड व्हाट अबाउट ब्रह्म? ब्रह्म इज एनीवेज निर्गुण. So anyway, he does not have ears, he does not have eyes to see your suffering. So he is saying, Shantira Swabhava, isme mamata nahi hai. Kyu mamata nahi hai? Kyunki shant ras mein hai, usko paramatma aur brahma ka gyan jyada hai, bhagwan ka gyan kam hai uske paas. And then he says, Kevala swarupa gyana haya shantarase, purna ishwarya prabhu gyana adhika haya dasye. Purna ishwarya prabhu gyan. Ye jo bhagwan hai, ये हमारे प्रेमी भगवान है, हमसे प्रेम करते हैं. ये ज्ञान शांत रस में नहीं है, वो दास्य से शुरू होता है. इसलिए कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी डज नॉट काउंट शांत रस एट ऑल. द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड वेर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड स्टेज इज कॉल्ड वैकुंठ. इज इट नॉट? व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ द वर्ड वैकुंठ? कुंठ मीन्स एंग्जाइटी एंड वैकुंठ मीन्स दैट प्लेस वेर देर इज नो एंग्जाइटी. इट इज बिरेफ्ट ऑफ एंग्जाइटी. सो नाउ द क्वेश्चन इज वॉट मेक्स दैट वर्ल्ड फ्री ऑफ एंग्जाइटी? Something that is there is not here, and that's why there is no anxiety there and there is supreme anxiety here. So I wanted to quote a small story. We know the story of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni from 9th canto. So Durvasa Muni is a big muni. He's just moving around without any home and anything. So in one sense, he's without anxiety. I'll eat anywhere, I'll stay anywhere, I don't need a home, I'm not a grihastha, like that. No comforts needed. And then he offends Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj does not offend him back, Ajata Shatru. He folds his hands and is saying, my dear Lord, whatever happens is by your mercy. The Supreme Lord Sudarshan Chakra comes and chases Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni is being chased by Sudarshan Chakra to all the demigods. He goes to the demigods, bachaiye mujhe Sudarshan Chakra se. Bole, nahi bacha sakte. Rudra, Shivji ke paas jate hain, bachaiye humko Sudarshan Chakra se. He says, I cannot save it. Now where do you go? So you go to the person who has the Sudarshan Chakra. He goes to Vaikuntha, where the Supreme Lord Narayan is taking rest. And he goes to the Supreme Lord Narayan and says, my dear Lord Narayan, your Sudarshan Chakra is tormenting me. Please take care of it. He says, sorry. Yeah, it is, but then it is a person. Sudarshan Chakra is a dead object. Nahi hai. Everything in the spiritual world is sentient. It has life. So Sudarshan Chakra saw how you are troubling a Vaishnav. So it has come on its own. So now the only rescue is you go to that devotee and take shelter of him. Aham bhakta paradhina. He aswatantra ivadvija. So why are we discussing this story? We are discussing this story to put forward a point. Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha and was in Kuntha. He is in anxiety. So how can a person be in Vaikuntha and be in Kuntha? We want to know that. Why? Because we want to go to Vaikuntha. We want to go to the spiritual world, is it not? You want to go to America, you will read books about America. To prepare yourself for what to do there. Similarly, all of us want to go to the spiritual world. We should read about all these things. So, something that happens always in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, that is described in 3rd canto, 15th chapter is, it is a place of constant, unmotivated, unfailing service to the Supreme Lord by everyone together. Lakshmi Sahastra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Kya hota hai Vaikuntha mein? Uska description hai, kehte hai, there are anyone and everyone. All. They only serve one person, that is Vishnu, Krishna, Rama, Ityadi. And all of them are together serving that Lord. So, the interesting thing is, when everyone comes together with an explicit motivation of serving the Supreme Lord unfailingly, without any selfish motivation, that place is Vaikuntha. But when Durvasa Muni did not go to Vaikuntha for serving the Supreme Lord, he went to Vaikuntha to get service from the Supreme Lord. He went there and said, you protect me. I have not come here to offer obeisances to you. That I did not do even when I was in the earthly planets. Yahan to main aaya hu keval khud ko bachane ke liye, aap humko bachaiye. That is engaging the Lord in your service. So the humble proposal is, even when you go to Vaikuntha, if you do not have service attitude, you will be in Kuntha in Vaikuntha. But if you are in the material world, which is a place of Kuntha, but if you are being guided by devotees, as we mentioned, they give you service, they motivate you for service, they support you for service, they'll help you do whatever it is required to engage you in service of the Supreme Lord. That is the path of liberation. That is how we'll get detachment from all that is material. So service to the Supreme Lord is that which will save us. What is that? Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etantarante te. Aur koi nahi hai, durjay hai maya. Maya cannot be conquered. Only those who surrender to me, those who serve me, they can conquer over maya. So one of the first primary disciples of Srila Prabhupada in India, his name was Prabhakar Mishra. And this Prabhakar Mishra, later when he was the first initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But then Prabhupada later moved to the States and then he established International Society for Krishna Consciousness there and grew into a very worldwide, big, huge movement. So, later when they became famous, so some of the disciples of Prabhupada there, they asked Srila Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, did you have any disciples before you started ISKCON? And he said, yes, there was one, Acharya Prabhakar Mishra. So they contacted him and they took an interview of this person. You know what he says? He says, this is his words. I have all respect for all disciples of Srila Prabhupada. But in this video he says this. He says, actually he says, I was more interested in philosophical knowledge. You know, there is this jnani tendencies there in all of us. He says, actually I was interested in Swamiji just to have discussions with Swamiji and get answers to problems of Swamiji. And he says, I never really served Swamiji. Seva nahi kar paya main. And that's why he says, I could not maintain my principles. Swamiji, even in India, he had given him those four regulative principles, whatever, yes. But he could not maintain those principles and he said, actually the cause is because I never served Swamiji. And what is the one supreme qualification of all the Western disciples of Srila Prabhupada, whether it is Shyam Sundar Prabhu, whether it is Guru Das Prabhu, whether it is His Holiness Niranjan Swami, whether it is His Holiness Satsarup Das, all those early disciples, what did they do? They did not have any piety. They did not have any janma, karma, you know, Aishwarya is not there, Shruta is not there. They were beggars, yes, they were living as hippies. One opulence they had was their beautiful faces. Other than that, they did not have any opulence. They are not educated also, primarily. But one thing they had was, they had this service attitude, and they served, and they served, and they served. And Swamiji said, let's do this, and they served. Swamiji said, let's do this, served. Open a temple in San Francisco, open a temple in Montreal, open a temple in London. Off they pack their bags and off they move to London. So here are these two striking examples. This Acharya Prabhakar was born in a Brahmin family. He came from a very pious family. But somehow, he just had an attitude of discussion, not service attitude. And discussions are very good, but if those discussions don't lead us to service, they will not help us. On the other hand, we have people who are not philosophically inclined, who are not culturally trained in Vedic culture, but just because they served Swamiji, they were saved from all the modes. So, we just wanted to end with this, that here it is mentioned, Anindhanam, the last line of this shloka mentions Anindhanam. And the translation says, when the mind is freed from the fuel of the modes of nature, the fire of material existence is extinguished. Koi indhani nahi hai to aag samapt ho jayegi. Samsara davanal, the fire will get extinguished. There is no fuel of the modes of nature. Then one achieves the transcendental platform of direct relationship with the object of his meditation, the Supreme Lord. So, all this while we have been putting indhan, the fuel of our modes, in our karmas. In our fluctuating mind, we are feeding the mind with the modes, and that's why the mind is tricking us. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has started one yajna. He started the Sankirtan yajna. So typically we feel yajna is also a havan kund, is it not? There is a fire there. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, I cannot distribute the fruits of love of Godhead myself. So he's saying, he's requesting all of us, please help me. So now we have a choice. Either we put our indhan of the modes of nature into the yagya of Maya Devi. But not only we put the Indra, she pulls us also into that yagya. And another yagya that is started by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Lord Himself, is a Sankirtan yagya. And that Sankirtan yagya also requires fuel, is it not? Lord Chaitanya is saying, I started this yagya, but I need all of you to put your ahuti in that yagya. So now we can use whatever mode we are in. Are we in the mode of ignorance? Some of us can say yes. Are you in the mode of passion? Some of us can say yes. And I can ask, are some of you in the mode of goodness? Some of you can say yes. Whatever it is, whether you are in ignorance, whether you are in passion, whether you are in goodness, use that ignorance, passion and goodness as indhan for the yagya started by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one way to stop a fire is to stop putting indhan there. To stop putting fuel in the fire. Another way to stop one fire is, you put your fuel in another fire. So all this while we have been putting our fuel in the original fire. Now let us start putting our, whatever it is, ignorance, passion, Westerners, whoever you are. Serve the devotees of the Lord. Join yourself to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not just for membership's sake, but also understanding that the prime gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us is some service, starting with Shravana. So whatever it is, wherever we are, whoever we are, take up some service somewhere in some corner and connect to Krishna. And in this way, Maam Chayo Avyabhicharena, stay in good association of devotees. They'll make sure that your service continues unfailingly in all situations. And 14.26 Krishna is guaranteeing us, we will conquer over Maya and reach the supreme abode of the Supreme Lord, where there is genuinely Vaikuntha for all of us. So thank you very much. I just had a small request from Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu. He requested me that today is Makhan Priya Gopal. So he requested me to speak a few sentences about that. As a service to him, we'll do that. He was saying how Lord Krishna is so grateful. Lord Krishna has the best butter being churned by Yashoda Mai. And he eats that. But he is also grateful to all the gopis in Vrindavan who churn their butter only for one sake. When will Krishna come to my home and perform robbery? So, pet pehle bhara hua hai, Yashoda Maiya ka makhan khake. Lekin phir bhi alag alag ghar mein jayenge aur sab ghar pe dastak denge. Aaj ka kota. In this way, he will please all the gopis. Not only that, after filling his belly, and after stealing from everywhere, then he'll call his friends. Feed all of them. Not only that, then he will whistle. And he'll call all his monkey friends and feed all of them. And why is he feeding all his monkey friends? The gratitude is from his past incarnation. As Lord Ramchandra, all those monkeys, they served Ramchandra unfailingly. What are the primary modes of the monkeys? Ignorance and passion. Goodness mein hai kya, bandar? Lekin ignorance ho ya passion ho ya goodness hai, jo bhi hai, hum seva karenge. Ramchandra ji ki seva karenge, asuro ko kaat kaat ke marenge. That's how they hurt the demons. They bit them, jumped on them, you know, scratched them with their nails and all that. So, that's what Krishna remembers. And he says, you all served me, and I will serve you with my own hands. And he feeds all the monkeys with his own hands. So that is the darshan here, Makhan Priya Gopal. And with these few words, we'll stop here. I'm very grateful to all of you for giving me a chance to serve all of you with sharing a few thoughts from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Small announcement. Before I read this announcement, a small request from my side. If anything that I spoke was instructive, believe me, there was no intention like that. I was just sharing some thoughts from the Srimad. It's a very philosophical verse, modes of nature and mind. Still, we tried the best to explain with some examples. So this is the 75th anniversary of Back to Godhead magazine. And on this occasion, our temple has organized a BTG marathon from 15th of April to 15th of May. So we are requesting all of you to share this very attractive magazine, colorful magazine with your friends. Give them an opportunity and also give yourself an opportunity to serve Krishna. The magazine is available in the following languages: English, Hindi, Marathi, Gujarati, Telugu, Oriya. Cost of 1 year subscription, that is 12 issues, is only 250 rupees. There's hardly 20 rupees per magazine. Nothing compared to the content, and nothing definitely compared to the paper quality and the printing cost. So we are requesting only two Sundays.